Welcome to you. Welcome. Welcome. You get a welcome. I'll give you a welcome. Hell, everybody here, welcome to this week's episode of the Paranormal Patriot. Everybody gets a welcome. Thank you for joining me. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat. This is your host. My name is Tom Velasquez, back behind the mic for another week of the Paranormal Patriot. For those of you who celebrate Easter and believe in our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, happy Easter. Glorious time of year for all Christians around the country. And what a better time to question something that we have been taught since we were children. And our grandparents were taught this, and our great-grandparents. Have we been lied to about the timeline of Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection, for that matter? I understand this is a very touchy subject. I'm not doing this segment to offend anybody. I'm doing this segment because I want to try to teach my listeners that it's okay to question. It's okay to think outside the box. It's okay to not follow the norm. I'm going to give you a timeline that may alter your reality of Good Friday, and the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean you have to believe in it, but what I ask is you at least have an open mind going into it to think maybe there's some possibilities. So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to talk to you about what the Department of Defense is buying $250,000 of, why are they doing it? I'm going to chalk it up to conspiracy because nobody can tell me why they're buying $250,000 of this piece of equipment. I'm going to talk to you about a subject that it's a tough subject for me to talk about. It really, truly hits home. It is a subject that I read an article and I had to read it three times because I had to stop. For those of you who have been following this show for a long, long time, you know the situation with my wife. And I read this article, and it was devastating to me. And I read it again. And the third time I read it, it almost gave me a little bit of hope. And then I read it again, and it gives me hope that maybe that there is not just nothing after death. Maybe there's something more after death. Some of you may listen to this segment of the show that I'm going to talk about and say, that's a little unnerving, Tom. I don't like talking about death. Well, you know what? None of us are going to avoid it. We all have to face it. I want to talk about what we are learning about what happens when we die. And I will explain to those new to the show why this hits so hard to me when that segment comes. But I want to talk to you about it because, to me, it gives me hope. Again, some people, it may unnerve them and they don't want to hear about it. You have to hear about it. It's nothing you can avoid. You can't avoid death. Let's listen to what I have to say and what we are learning about what happens when we die. And then, to end the show, Sunday, April 21st, marks the 3-year anniversary of the death of an icon, my hero, the reason I am how I am. And I just want to do a brief little tribute to this man. And again, for those of you who have listened to the show for a long time, you know who I'm talking about already. But for those of you who are new to the show, stick around to the end of the show, because I'm going to have a little bit of a brief tribute to end the show, celebrating what this man has done for me and for millions and millions of people around the world. So, very interesting show this week. It's going to be all across the board, but we have to start with the comment of the week. And the comment of the week this week comes from Linda in Texas. Now, Linda sent me the longest email I have ever received from a listener. This thing was like a chapter in a book. It was so long. And then she sent me a second one, literally 5 minutes after she sent me the first one. I read the first one first, or I read the second email she sent first, and the second one said, "Hey, Tom, I know that's a long email. Condense it. Because if you just rattle off the whole email, it's going to take the whole show." And it probably would have. And then I went into the email, and she was absolutely right. She makes great points. I have to condense it. But with as much time as she put in on this, absolutely the comment of the week. Again, this is coming from Linda in Texas. She says, "Tom, I love your show. I am infatuated with the paranormal. I love politics, and I love conspiracies. This show is exactly what I was looking for. I can't find another show out there that does this. You mentioned this week that your Texas listenership has skyrocketed. I have been telling every one of my friends and acquaintances and everybody I know that they need to listen to this show. I would like to think that I helped raise your Texas listenership." So first off, Linda, absolutely thank you to the moon and back. What you did, I'm sure you had something to do with it, and the Texas listenership is still skyrocketing. So Linda and whoever's listening and sharing the show and telling everybody about this show in Texas, keep it up. And for those of you in the other states, let's get on board. The show is really taking off, and it's because of listeners like Linda. But we'll get back to her email. She says, "Tom, I am a devout Christian. I am a devout conservative. I love Donald Trump. Before your rabbit hole shows, I never thought of Donald Trump other than my president." She said, "You have opened my eyes up to the fact that there is a deep state and there is a plan to get rid of this deep state. Everything you have said, I have researched, and I have found that there is some truth to it. I truly believe that the deep state will lose their control very shortly, and it's all because of the military and Donald Trump doing what he was asked to do. I, as well as I'm sure hundreds, thousands, I don't know how many listeners you have, but most of your listeners, I too am fed up with the Mueller investigation and how nobody can let it go. Now, I have a couple of questions that I want you to pose to your listeners. And this is the crux of the email, and this is where it gets good. She says, now that this investigation is over and it has completely exonerated Donald Trump from collusion and obstruction of justice, I have questions. She wants to know if the dossier, the Steele dossier, which this whole investigation was brought up around, if the dossier was known to be unverified and fake, how then was an investigation started to begin with? She wants to know, at what point did Mueller determine that there was no collusion? There are, according to my sources, Linda,
18 months ago, a year and a half ago, Robert Mueller knew that there was no collusion or obstruction of justice, but he continued his investigation. Then she says, was the investigation kept on going as a talking point to rig the midterm elections? That's a good question. She says, was the investigation kept on going to retain the blockade to essentially restrict the President of the United States from unmasking and informing the public as to the truth about what really happened? That's another good question. And then she says, was the investigation kept on going to protect those who knowingly committed treason? And that's where we get to the crux of it. This investigation, from the start, was a sham. It was started on a known fake, known unverified dossier. It was known as the Steele dossier. And this is why President Trump is so adamant that this was an illegal investigation. There was no need for this investigation because everybody knows that this document was the main source for starting this investigation. And it is coming to light that there are many, many, many Clinton, Obama, anybody in the Democratic Party, and some of the Republicans knew going into this that this special counsel knew going in that that document was a fraud. It was completely made up. But that's how they started the investigation. That should tell everybody, Linda, right there, that they knew they didn't have anything on Trump. They knew it. So they had to concoct this whole story, and they used the dossier to do so. They used that dossier to concoct this story so they could start the special counsel. They could start the Russian investigation. And listen, Linda. Listen, Linda. Everybody knows that one. Listen, Linda. Do not think that the United States does not do the same thing that we are accusing the Russians of doing. The United States of America has been trying to influence elections throughout the world for decades. When the Obama administration was in power, they put millions and millions and millions of dollars into the Israeli election against Benjamin Netanyahu. We did it in Venezuela. We did it in Bolivia. We've done it all over the world. So for us to be out there saying, this is ridiculous, this is uncalled for, this is disastrous that the Russians would interfere in our elections. Come on now. We do it all the time. Isn't that the pot calling the kettle black? If it's good enough for us, why isn't it good enough for them? Do I agree with it? No, but we shouldn't be doing it either. Let these people in those countries decide. They don't need the United States telling them what to think. We don't need the Russians telling us what to think. But that is the whole point of this, is this investigation concluded that there was no collusion, there was no obstruction of justice, unless you talk to a Democrat and they say, oh, the redacted version will show differently. Whatever. Listen, if it came out that Trump obstructed justice and there was collusion, they would not have anything to say about the redacted version of this. Nothing. But because it went against what they wanted, now they want the unredacted version. It's a game. It's an absolute game. So, Linda, you make excellent points. When did Mueller know that there was no collusion? Why did they continue the investigation? Was it to protect those people who committed treason? Was it to influence the midterm elections? And if they did do that to influence the midterm elections, is that any better than the Russians? Isn't that the same thing? Those are the questions we need to ask. Linda in Texas is getting it, that there's something else going on here. Now, she's done the research. It's up to you, my listeners, to do the research. And if you come up with something completely different, that's fine. But do the research. Think for yourself. Don't let the mainstream media, don't let the politicians tell you what to think. Think for yourselves. You have a brain. Use it. You have something called free will. You can think for yourself. Lazy people out there, you would rather have someone else think for you. It's not a good way to live because you live in a bubble of a created reality that's not reality. The reality that's out there is completely different from the reality that the mainstream media and the politicians and the nightly news are showing you. When you realize that, and when you realize, oh my God, this isn't what I was taught. It's a wonderful feeling. So Linda from Texas, thank you. All my Texas listeners, thank you for a great month. We are going to blow by numbers this month. Let's get on board for the rest of the country. My international numbers are through the roof also. So anybody listening to this show, first off, thank you. Secondly, share the show. Tell your friends about the show. I don't know how to thank everybody that's listening other than thank you. So I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk to you about maybe, just maybe, what we've been told about Good Friday. It may not be true. So sit back, relax, open that mind during the break. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. This is your host, Tom Velasquez, and I will be right back. Sicknesses of our true pain. Friday, September 20th, and Saturday, September 21st, 2019. Join us in Northern Michigan for another Out of This World event, the second annual Michigan UFO Contact. Spend the weekend listening and learning from special guest speakers who will be lecturing about UFO sightings, experiences, the contact phenomena, and more. Also, be sure to shop their amazing vendor rooms for unique gifts, creative works, psychic readings, and much more. Some of your favorite vendors from last year are returning, plus they are adding great new ones this year. Now, because everyone was so pleased with the location last year, they have decided to return to the beautiful Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. Now, this resort, it overlooks the largest inland lake in the state of Michigan. It is full of windows and includes a walkout balcony from the conference center and the vending room. They have a fantastic restaurant inside of the hotel, and the rooms, they are the best. This will be another educational and refreshing event, I guarantee it. So Friday, September 20th, Saturday, September 21st, 2019, at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan, join me at the second annual Michigan UFO Contact. And when you get there, tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you. Are you tired of mumble rap? You don't like gangster rap? Well, maybe two older white guys are what you're looking for. And if that's the case, you need to be on the lookout for the new EP from Multiple Myselfs and Tommy V. And while you're at it, download or stream their hit single, My Destiny, from Spotify, iTunes, Tidal, Google Play, Amazon Music, or wherever you download or stream your music from. Again, Multiple Myselfs and Tommy V's new EP is coming soon, but you can listen to their first single, My Destiny, coming from that EP, wherever you stream or download your music from. Multiple Myselfs and Tommy V.
Make haste, angry subjects. Let's be the revolt. If we can't do so, impossible. public, smash our screens in the Gulf. Come out from your dungeons, feel the sun on your face. You can't hide behind your comments, you must see this place. Let's not destroy it, don't clean the pace. Slow down, I'm thinking, infect the race. All the hated fetters, don't leave a trace. Children will love if you give them the grace. The light can win, consume our face. Complacent in our pleasure and we cannot be late. I hasten all your clever and you move to a place. All emotions that are stagnant so we can all embrace.
Princess thoughts, the priestess of space.
All right. I want to start this segment by saying it is not my intention to offend. It is not my intention to try and change anybody's religious beliefs. But let me tell you, ever since I was a wee child, I have always had an inquisitive mind. I have always questioned what I've been told. I guess my mind just constantly moves and it doesn't make sense in the real world. I remember in third grade when we first started learning about evolution. Yes, we learned about evolution in third grade. My teacher, Mrs. McGovern, got so ticked at me because I questioned, if we evolved from monkeys and apes, why are there still monkeys and apes? Apparently that wasn't a question that a third grader should ask. She didn't know the answer, didn't like my question, completely ignored it. As I was younger, the timeline for Good Friday, it didn't make sense to me. And this is why. Now, this is the Easter season. This is the time of the year where we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Which, okay, if you've listened to this show for a while, you know, I don't even know how to put it. I guess I'm very angry with God right now. And it has changed my whole view on my belief system. For those of you who don't know, this is why I'm very angry at God. I still believe that there is a creator. Somehow we were created. My wife became very sick in 2016. And we could not find a doctor that could tell us what was wrong. In the back of my mind, I kind of knew what was wrong, but I prayed and I prayed and I prayed harder than I've ever prayed for anything in my life, that what I thought was wrong with my wife was not wrong with my wife. Well, lo and behold, we found out in June of 2017 that she has stage 4 neuroendocrine cancer that has metastasized into her liver, and there is no cure. We are at the point now where she gets injections every month to try and control the growth of the tumors. There's no way we can stop the or remove the tumors. We just, at this point, are buying time. And I knew deep down that that was what was going on. And that's not how this was supposed to work. I am not the healthiest individual in the world. You know, as she told me, this isn't how it was supposed to happen. I was supposed to take care of you. You're not supposed to take care of me. What is going to happen with our kids? And I am upset with God right now. So for those of you who didn't know, that is my story as to why I'm upset with God. And during that whole time, I had started to lean in towards the metaphysical side of religion, that the universe, we were created, we are essentially energy, which the Bible calls our spirit. You can call our creators, we were created by something. Some people can call it God, some people call it the universe, but call it what you want. That is where I stand now. I believe that we are part of the universe. We're moon dust, and we're part of the universe. We are made up of the universe. And we go back to the universe. We'll get into that later on in the show. But I still believe in God because that was my whole upbringing, is God is good. God is there for those who believe in him. Maybe, I guess. But I was always taught at Sunday school about Good Friday. Good Friday is the day that Jesus was crucified and he was killed on Friday and went in the tomb on Saturday, and then Sunday he came out of the tomb. But reading the Bible as a young child, as I did, it didn't make sense to me, because Matthew 12:40, and this is coming from the King James Version, says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man," which was Jesus, "be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." To me, that doesn't make sense as to when he was crucified and when he was resurrected. Now, being an Episcopalian, which is essentially, for the most part, a Catholic, our teachings were based on 1 Corinthians 15:4, and that says, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Now, we as Catholics and Episcopalians, we count Friday as one day, Saturday as the second day, and Sunday as the third day, which is 3 days. Unfortunately, though, that's not 3 days. It's barely a day and a half according to the Jewish calendar. In my eyes, and in many awakening people's eyes, Jesus did not rise on Sunday morning. And according to the Bible, Jesus did not rise on Sunday morning, because the Bible said he already was risen by the time Sunday morning rolled around. And this can be found in Mark 16:9, when it says, "Know when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils." Now in Matthew 28:1-6, it says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the tomb. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay." Now, in all the gospel accounts, Jesus is already risen by Sunday morning. There is no account of his rising at that time. It has already happened. So if the Roman Catholic timeline is followed, you would have at the most 30 hours of elapsed time, not even close enough to the 3 days and three nights that Jesus himself said would transpire. Now, in the first chapter of Genesis, we see God creating our 24-hour day. It is made up of 12 hours of evening and 12 hours of morning. That is exactly how we still chart time here in 2019. But the Bible says that God started the day at 6 p.m. Now, make a mental note of that, because when we come back to this point in just a bit, you're going to need to remember it. Jesus said in Matthew that his crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection would match that of what happened to the prophet Jonah in the Old Testament. Now, this comes from Matthew 12:40, and it says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So there you have it. The required timeline mandated by Jesus himself is 3 days and three nights, full days and full nights. Jesus was crucified, now you ready, on Wednesday morning, and he was taken off the cross before sundown at 6 p.m., when Thursday would begin. To us, that's still Wednesday night, but on the Jewish calendar, 6 p.m. starts the next day. I want to reiterate that. 6 p.m. on the Jewish calendar is when the next day rolls over. We don't use the Jewish calendar. We use the Roman calendar. Now, on John 19:31-32, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished,' and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Now, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body shall not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, besought Pilate, Pontius Pilate, that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Again, that's from John 19, 31 and 32. Now, please note the phrase that the Sabbath day was on a high day. This is not the regular Saturday Sabbath day. It is a special high Sabbath day. Now, what was so special about this high day? It was Passover. The Passover fell on the Thursday and was followed by the days of unleavened bread as found in Leviticus. Now in Mark 16, 1 and 2, he says, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices, that they may come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the tomb at the rising sun." Now when the ladies brought the spices, it was after the high Sabbath day of Passover. It was not after the regular Sabbath day on Saturday. They brought the spices on Friday. The first day of the week is not Monday, but rather it's Sunday. Look at our calendars. When does the week start? Sunday. So these women brought the spices to anoint the body of our Savior on Sunday. Now, Saturday being the last day of the week, the day God rested from all his labors. So as the two Marys coming to see the body and mourn at sunrise, Jesus was not rising, but rather had already risen. Now, according to Mark 16, 6, "And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him." That is Mark 16, 6. So they came on Sunday morning. He had already risen. That just completely destroys the timeline that I was taught. Now, speaking of timelines, I want to give you a quick timeline as I see it, how I read it, how scholars of the Bible and, more importantly, the Jewish calendar. Because when the Bible was written, they used the Jewish calendar. This is the actual timeline of the crucifixion, the death, and the rising of Jesus Christ. Jesus was crucified on the cross at roughly 9 a.m. Wednesday morning. He was taken down off the cross at sundown. He was then buried for 3 nights, and those nights were Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Now, Passover, the high Sabbath day, was on Thursday. Now, he said he would be buried 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Those 3 days that he was buried in the heart of the earth were Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The regular Saturday, Sabbath day. What that means is Jesus rose from the grave Saturday night at roughly 6 p.m., which is the start of the first day of the week. In the Jewish calendar, remember, the end of the day is 6 p.m., so the start of the next week is Sunday. The tomb is empty before the sun rises on Sunday when people start arriving. So, we now have fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy to be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. The Roman Catholic Good Friday timeline is short by nearly 2 full days. Now, I say Roman Catholic, you can say Episcopalian, you can say a lot of different Christian religions have this wrong. It is because they failed to see that the two Sabbath days that occurred, they only see one on Saturday. They also failed to understand that the Jewish calendar and how their days were set up according to Genesis 1 are what they went by in the Bible. When you realize that at 6 p.m. the current day ends and a new one starts, that changes just about everything. When you realize that the authors of the Bible are using the Jewish calendar because they know nothing else, you realize that the timeline, because we use the Roman calendar, where our day ends at 12 o'clock midnight, or starts, I guess, at 12 o'clock midnight. When you use the Jewish calendar, the next day starts at 6 p.m. So when we are being taught as children about the resurrection, the crucifixion of Christ, we are using the Roman calendar, which is completely wrong. We have to look at it from the Jewish calendar point of view. And when you look at it from the Jewish calendar point of view, Jesus was crucified and died on a Wednesday, and he rose on a Saturday. But really, does it make that big of a difference? Honestly, I guess the main thing is that we believe in a God. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the Bible if we want to get to heaven. So does it matter when he died, when he was resurrected? Some people would say yes, because if we're not honoring that in the proper context, then we are not honoring him. Well, if that's the case, we celebrate his birth December 25th. Well, from all accounts, Jesus' birth was in September. So we're not honoring him there. We have to use the Jewish calendar. Now, I understand this has probably upset a lot of people, made a lot of people turn the show off. If you've got through to this point, thank you. Keep an open mind. Now, looking at the time that I have in the show, for the third week, the DOD story is going to be put on the back burner because I really want to talk about what happens, what we're learning, what happens when we die, because it kind of coincides with the show, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the third anniversary of an icon. So when we come back, you will hear what science is learning, what we are learning about what happens when we die. And it's up to you to determine whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I am your host, Tom Velasquez. And I'll be right back. Pennsylvania, are you ready? If you are, be there Saturday, October 5th, 2019, from 10 to 5, 350 Adams Street in Rochester, Pennsylvania, for the Beaver Valley Paracon. The Beaver Valley Paracon is a paranormal conference covering everything from UFOs, Bigfoot, ghosts, and more. There will be speakers, vendors, and a ton of food. Portions of the proceeds benefit the Rochester Area Heritage Museum and Model Railroad. So anybody in the Pennsylvania area on Saturday, October 5th, 2019, from 10 to 5, go to 350 Adams Street in Rochester, Pennsylvania, for the Beaver Valley Paracon. And when you get there, tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you. Hey everybody, this is Tom Velasquez, the host of The Paranormal Patriot, which can be heard every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up. Are you intrigued by the paranormal? Do conspiracies excite you? Do you like to talk about ghosts, UFOs, or cryptids, or just politics in general? If so, my show, The Paranormal Patriot, is for you. Tune in every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up. Yeah. All right. It is with great trepidation that I added this segment to the show. As you all know, it is it's a tough subject for me because my wife has cancer. She has stage 4 cancer in her liver. It has metastasized into her liver. The good news is it is a very slow-growing cancer. It is called neuroendocrine cancer. It's a very underfunded, unknown cancer. So right now she is doing well off of her injections. Every month she receives an injection, and that injection is designed to stop the growth of the tumors in her liver and stop the symptoms of the carcinoid, which is, they used to call it carcinoid cancer. The symptoms were flushing, diarrhea, flu-like symptoms, and profuse sweating. And at this point, there's nothing we can do to stop the cancer. We can't cure the cancer at this point. It's gone too far. The medical field has failed us. We have been going to the doctor for years prior to her diagnosis, complaining that something wasn't right, and they just wouldn't do it. And I finally, while I was in the room with the GI specialist, said, okay, I'm gonna address the elephant in the room. Have we looked at cancer? And the doctor looked me straight in the face and said, there's no reason to think that cancer exists in her body. She doesn't exhibit any symptoms. The symptoms that she has was she physically could not eat. Physically, every time she ate, she would be doubled over in pain. Could not sleep. I can't tell you how many nights I sat up with her just rubbing her back and trying to get her through the pain that she was enduring. We'll come to find out once they went in and did exploratory surgery on her, she had a tumor in her abdomen that was pushing on her intestine that was blocking the passage of food. There was another tumor that was cutting off the blood supply to her intestines. She had, I believe, 3 feet of her intestines removed. Plus, she has numerous tumors in her liver that are affecting her liver. So what I'm going to talk about hits home in a deep way because it's inevitable. I'm going to lose my wife. I hope she's not listening to this. It wasn't supposed to be this way. I am not the healthiest guy out there. I myself have liver issues. I have basically non-alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver. I had fatty liver for years, and which is normal, apparently. Apparently, a lot of people have fatty liver, and some people never goes beyond a couple fat cells in the liver. And because autoimmune disorders run in my family, my liver is now scarred and damaged, and she wasn't supposed to be the one to be taken care of. She was the strong one. I was the weak one. She was the one that was going to take care of me, and the roles are now reversed. And what scares me to no end is how much time do I have with my wife, and how much time do my kids have with their parents? You know, I don't know how much time I have. You know, they told me this years ago, 8 to 10 years, and there's nothing we can do. Well, I've gone beyond that. I changed my diet and lost a ton of weight. And, well, then this diagnosis from my wife came in, and it just, the stress has got to me. And I've gained weight back, and my diet has changed, and my stress level has changed. And anybody that's ever had liver issues that's listening to the show knows that stress is horrible for your body. And I'm in a constant flux of stress. The good news is I left a job that was contributing a ton of stress on my life and went to a job that has reduced the amount of stress out there. Anybody in the Owosso, Perry, Lanesburg, anybody area, Elsesser's Auto, that's where I'm working. Go there. It's a phenomenal place to work. And more importantly, the gentleman that runs it, Adam, is a phenomenal human being. He lives right. He takes care of people. And it is such a blessing and such a relief to work for someone that is not out to screw somebody, that is not out to make money on every single person. It is such a relief and a stress reliever to know I'm going into a place of employment where the people love coming there because they know they get taken care of. And, you know, if I can help out in any way, shape, or form, that's my whole point of being there. But regardless, I have gone completely off track from what the subject was. So let's get back on track. Now, science has been studying death for years. And there is a growing body of research that is studying the processes that occur after death, and the findings suggest that human consciousness, the ability to think and the ability to be, it does persist even after our heart stops and we are declared dead. What it means is this: when we have died, we are aware that we're dead. Now, some people may look at that and go, oh my God, no, I don't want to know that I'm dead. But I look at it as there's more to us than just this flesh and this electric body. Because if our heart stops, that means every function in our body stops, right? And that's the general synopsis of what happened when we died. When our heart stopped, our body stopped. But there is growing evidence that we see and we hear things that are going on after we are declared dead. There are numerous people that have suffered heart attacks, been in horrific car accidents, that have died, quote unquote, on the table, that have floated above their body and saw their body lying there, unresponsive. And they've heard the doctors declare a time of death and walk away from that body and cover that body up. And then all of a sudden that body has life again. And these patients, they can completely recollect conversations and in conversations and scenarios that the doctors had while they were declared dead. Now, I've said it many, 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 many times before that we as a human race think we know so much. We know what we know. We are limited by our human knowledge. I am a firm believer that this body that you have, some of us have a tall body, some of us have a short body, some of us have a thin body, some of us, like me, have a fat body. But this body we have is essentially a shell. And it is just housing our energy. We are energy. Look at the human body. Look at the brain. The brain is sending off electrical pulses throughout our whole body, every movement we have is being sent from an electrical pulse from our brain to that portion of the body. So I'm trying to make a fist here. I make a fist. That is a signal sent from my brain to my hand to clench those muscles. Those muscles receive that electrical energy. And the key word there is energy. And remember, energy does not dissipate. Energy cannot be destroyed. It can just be transformed. We are a bundle of energy. And because of that, we are eternal. I read this article multiple times, and it was hard to read because of what my family is going through and what hopefully years down the road I will have to deal with. But there's hope. This is just a phase. When we are done with this earthly life, we move on to another adventure. Some people call it heaven. Some people say we reincarnate. Whatever it is, we are eternal. And that is the hope of that segment. But more importantly, it's the hope of Jesus Christ. We are eternal. I hope that gives some of you, if not all of you, hope that death is not the final event. It's the beginning of an amazing journey. We're going to take a quick break. I want to come back and give my quick tribute to my hero. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will be right back.
You're too young to be on that bridge. You're too young to be still.
April 21st, 2016, a day that forever changed my life. You've been asked, where were you when Kennedy was shot? What were you doing when we landed on the moon? Do you remember when the Challenger exploded? My event was, what were you doing when you heard Prince died? I was at lunch scrolling Facebook and seeing reports of a police response to an event at Paisley Park. I remember texting my brother, who was in Mexico at the time, telling him something's going on at Paisley Park. He says, Dad, don't worry about it. And then it came out that the man I idolized, who my whole life was created around, had died. We didn't know why. We didn't know how. But my life literally came to a stop for a little while. We may never meet our idols. You may have musical idols that you just grew up with and you relate to. Prince was someone who talked to me. He knew what to sing, what to play, and what song to produce at any given time in my life. I was in a very, very vulnerable state in the late 80s, and he produced a song called Anastasia. And it was about loving God and loving life, and it pulled me from despair. There are many, many millions of people that can say the same thing, that Prince spoke to them. There are many that say Prince was not of this planet. There's no way. The amount of instruments he played, the way he commanded the stage, the way he made everyone around him better. It's a sign of an angel. They say James Brown was the hardest working man in show business. He couldn't hold a candle to Prince. The side projects, The Time, Vanity, Apollonia 6, you name it, the family. He was a machine. And his mission in life was to create music for generations to enjoy. If you took Purple Rain, his iconic, groundbreaking breakthrough album, and released it today, it would be a hit. It is timeless, and it was released in 1984, and he continued to make music up until his death in 2016. His death has been attributed to opioids. Someone who he trusted gave him a lethal, illegal amount of fentanyl. And the world lost one of its most brilliant creative musicians ever. And the world will never see another Prince. This man literally touched my soul. And it was like a family member had died when he died. Again, I hate idolizing the fact that I idolized this guy, this musician, but I truly believe he was not of this planet. He was sent here to bring joy to so many people around the world. So, on the anniversary of your death and the transition to wherever you are, Prince, I absolutely miss you, as do millions of other people. You will never be forgotten. Never be another. Rest in peace, my brother. I never met you, but through your music, I knew you. There will never be another Prince.